Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Canary. As we learned during the first part of today's show, the old train depot in downtown Fort Myers served as a community hub and a connection to the outside world for decades, beginning in 1924, all the way up to until it closed in 1971. But it was also emblematic of racial segregation throughout its time as a depot. It sat empty for about a decade before becoming the Southwest Florida Museum of History, where people of all backgrounds could come together and learn about this region's history, the good and the bad. But then the museum merged with the Imaginarium Science Center, becoming the IMAG History and Science Center a few years ago, so the depot building was again sitting empty. And that's where the Southwest Florida Community Foundation comes into the story. Thanks to a public-private partnership with the City of Fort Myers, many generous donors, and a $10 million new market tax credit, which encourages development in distressed neighborhoods, the foundation reopened the depot as a reimagined high-tech workplace last October called the Collaboratory. Joining me now to learn more about what's happening there and what's going to be happening there moving forward is Sarah Owen. She is president and CEO of the Southwest Florida Community Foundation. Sarah, thanks for being with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And if you'd like to add your voice to our discussion, give us a call now. It's 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. So I'm going to rearrange my script here a little bit. So I ended with Jim, you know, trying to get him to suppose what people from the past might think of how we've changed. Can we start there with you? You said before the show that you think about that a lot.
I do. I'm one of those people that when I go into a historical space, I want to imagine what it might have been like to be there when the building was built, what the people were experiencing. And not only getting information from Jim, but when the foundation decided to move into the space, a lot of people came up to me with stories of telling me what their experiences were at the depot. And so it kind of helped me to begin to imagine. So as Jim said, you know, in my highest thinking mind, I would like to think that people from the 20s and 30s would come in and say, I love what you've done with the place. But I don't know, based on the history.
I bet some of them would.
I do too, because I think there's a mix of people in all generations, right? So I think that some would, and unfortunately some may not feel as good just based on what we heard Jim talking to us about the history of the space.
Was it picked in any way because of its past, or was it just a great building that could be renovated in a place that needed renovation? You know what I mean?
Yes, I know exactly what you mean. It was an emerging story. The way that we got to the space was really through our team and primarily our board of trustees saying, hey, if we're going to move to a new office, let's make it matter. Let's tell a story with it. Let's contribute something back to the community. Don't just...
So there was a mindfulness to its choice.
Yes, but as we learned more, and as I learn every day, I think I told you on my way in, I learned something just by listening to Jim in the last, 20 minutes that I didn't know before. And I've spent a lot of time with him on this. We began to hear more and more the stories of segregation, the stories of the history there. And the foundation became more and more committed to using that as part of moving forward. We wanted to acknowledge it. We made a lot of decisions within the renovation. Some people suggested that we not keep the four historic doors, right, that represented the different bathrooms.
Right, right.
But we did. And you've toured there. You know, when we tour someone in the building, we tell the story of the building because we think it can be used as an example for all of us about the possibilities of moving forward. We wanted to acknowledge the story. We think there's still healing to be done. And so it's a great way for us to incorporate that into our work and our conversation around equity, inclusion, all of those things that community foundations are tasked with doing.
Well, it does do that. So you guys are
good.
Accomplishing that. So can you remember when the idea of building out that facility first crossed your mind? Was it your idea? Was it someone's idea? Was it an email? How did that – what's the origin?
Well, we really were looking for a new home for the Community Foundation. We had outgrown our space that was previously on College Parkway, and we knew we needed to move. And we knew we needed to move to a place that encouraged collaboration, encouraged bringing people together, not a traditional office space. And so some folks from the city actually that had been involved with the Imaginarium and the Southwest Florida History Museum – it came to our attention that that community treasure was going to be left vacant. And our team and our trustees kind of together in conversations thought, what are the possibilities? And we think that a lot at the foundation, like what are the possibilities that this could work? And we began conversations with the city and started looking into the financing and that kind of thing. So it was an emergent process. We were looking. And so sometimes timing is everything and opportunity is everything. And we just thought it told a beautiful story.
Did you think it was feasible when you first started on that path, or was this a really big mountain that you are so happy you've climbed now?
Well, I think you know me well enough to know that I'm a delusional optimist, and so I think everything's feasible right. and everything is possible. And so it was a big hurdle to climb because of the new market tax credit funding. We actually had a very short window for the tax credits that we were claiming, and we had about 90 days to close the financing deal, which really created a situation that our board and the city council and others involved in the project had to move quickly and make quick decisions. And sometimes great ideas happen when there's a possibility and not quite enough time to make it happen,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, or in this case, there's not enough time to procrastinate.
Right, you know? Exactly. So we were on a tight deadline, and so it moved us forward quickly, and we had to make some quick initial decisions, and then we were able to step back and even work out more details for the project.
Where did the idea for the name come about?
All right. And I love the way you say it. I always love to hear different people say it, whether it's collaboratory, I've heard.
Oh, I hadn't even thought of that.
I've heard a lot of different.
Collaboratory. There you go.
We've heard a lot of different versions of it. It really stems from science. The original collaboratories were started with the University of Michigan and Steve Jobs and a group of scientists working on a scientific project in Greenland. And I just became fascinated with the idea that people came together from all over the world to solve the scientific problem. They brought in Steve Jobs for his technology, University of Michigan for their academia prowess. They brought in funding scientists to solve problems. And I thought, that's what we want to do. We want to build a laboratory for collaboration where people from all over our region, all over the country, all over the world can come together and solve some of our greatest issues and seize some of our greatest opportunities. And then it just kind of caught on.
Describe what's happening there now. So I've been through there. So part of the building is your office spaces. It's where you guys go to work every day. But then there's other things. Describe what those other things are and how they're being used and how you hope to use them.
Yeah, what we really wanted to create was a container. That was really our goal. We don't want to prescribe what happens in there. We want to make sure that we've created something where there's space, there's a welcoming atmosphere. We wanted to make sure it was built to LEED standards, meaning energy and environmental, just the highest standards we could get there. We wanted people to know that there was a place that they could come that had state-of-the-art technology. This idea of just people coming together is really what we were trying to create, whether it was with a room or a space. Although Collaboratory sits in a physical location in Midtown Fort Myers, Collaboratory is everywhere. That's the point of it. We can connect digitally. We can connect with technology. Collaboratory can happen anywhere, but we wanted a space that people could come to and gather and connect. And that's what we're trying to create. It's really emergent. It sounds counterintuitive. Everybody wants to know what my 5-year plan is and what's going to happen next year. You know, you'll decide that. You know, Jim Powers will decide that. People listening right now will decide that. I tell people when I tour them, I don't want to tell you about the building. I want to show you a space, and then I want you to be dreaming and thinking and imagining what you could create here. And that's what's happening now.
Are there do I understand it correctly that you have space set aside so area nonprofits can come and have a meeting or stuff like that? So it's available to businesses, nonprofit and otherwise, or you know, who are the people coming in that aren't your staff?
Yeah, we are really intentional. This is open. We say there's a seat for everyone. It's very intentional that nonprofits can come in and use the meeting room spaces. And there's a variety. You know, there's a boardroom setting, a classroom setting, an idea room setting, casual seating, you know, any number of different configurations that nonprofits can use. But we didn't want it to limit it to nonprofits. Around the country, we saw these nonprofit hubs. But we want nonprofits to be talking to business, to government, to academia. we want everybody to come in. And that's the mix we're starting to get. We'll have one room full with a nonprofit meeting, and then the next room, somebody for a for-profit business who is paying to be in the space that offsets the cost for the nonprofit to be there. But the magic happens when they come out of the meeting rooms and run into each other in the cafe or the coffee bar and start to have a conversation. We wanted these organic conversations to emerge, because there's kind of a twofold issue that happens with nonprofits and for-profits in particular. When a nonprofit approaches a for-profit CEO at a cocktail party, she might run the other way, that CEO, right? Because what are you thinking? They want me to sponsor a table, which is good. You all should do that. But we wanted the dialogue to be more robust.
It's very high tech. I learned in researching for this show about Florida Lambda Rail.
Yes.
That's like what? That's like a super high-tech connection between Florida's universities and research entities?
Wow, you did a great job on that.
I did that from memory, too.
Yeah, and I take all notes with me everywhere on Florida Lambda Rail so I can get it right. Yeah, we really wanted to have technology in the building, because that's that second prong between the nonprofit and the for-profit world. A lot of times nonprofits will get the phone call from a well-meaning business that says, I have a 10-year-old phone system I'd like to donate to you. We're going to get the new state-of-the-art system, but you can have our old system. We don't have any models. There's no manuals. You know, we don't know if anybody services anymore. So the nonprofits are always lagging behind when that happens.
I can attest to that.
Right. So we wanted to put in the state-of-the-art technology. And what Florida Lambda Rail is it's designed for nonprofit and universities. It connects us to research libraries. It allows – it's for very high-speed downloads. It allows for us to connect virtually. We can do a lot of virtual meetings due to the technology.
Cool. I'm talking with Sarah Owen. She's president and CEO of the Southwest Florida Community Foundation, which opened its new headquarters last October in downtown Fort Myers. The Collaboratory, as they've dubbed it, is also a high-tech workplace for area nonprofits and other businesses. To make a comment or ask a question, give us a call now. The number is 877-GCU-TALK. Let's take a call. Well, she's not quite on hold yet, so we're just going to wait a second. Call's ready. Right. Let's take a call from Holly in Fort Myers. Holly, welcome to Gulf Coast Live. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Just getting into my car to drive to the Collaboratory right now to go to a meeting there, a community meeting. And how delightful to hear Sarah Owen and you all talking about this wonderful new Collaboratory downtown.
Well, all right. What's the meeting that you're going to?
The meeting that I'm going to is kind of a brainstorming meeting about how to work with the water issues here in Fort Myers, and how to be able to express some of those issues in a way that creates more unity among a lot of the groups that are working on these issues. And I just heard, for example, that Captains for Clean Water now is going to have some offices at the Collaboratory. And I just think that's a really delightful, amazing space. When I'm in that space, it feels like everybody's a family. And people just meet each other out in the lobby, and an amazing amount of collaboration and network happens spontaneously.
All right, Holly, thank you very much for giving us a little assessment from on the ground. We appreciate it. Have a good day.
Yeah, I just really want to thank Sarah Owen, too, and the foundation because of all the good work that they do. They're awesome.
Wow, I wish you could see how big I am smiling right now. I mean, that is it. What she described, that's it. That's what we are trying to create. And for us to hear people speak like that, and we are hearing people speak like that. Somebody called me on Saturday and said, hey, I just drove by Collaboratory and the parking lot's packed. And I'm like, oh yeah, a couple meetings are going on there today. And so to hear somebody like Holly who is saying they feel unity, they feel a place to connect, and they're going there to work on one of our greatest issues in the community. I mean, that's it. That's Collaboratory.
I can see it on your face. It must feel pretty good. We are basically out of time. I just want to tee up the next segment a little bit. Ghostbird Theater Company is going to be doing a play there on the 18th and the 19th and the 25th and the 26th. Is that part of your model, too, is having those sorts of things?
Absolutely. Like I said, it's an emerging space. We want to see what people can create, and Ghostbird Theater is one of those groups that imagine something amazing happening, and I'm excited for them to come and do their production, and we'll just wait to see what happens next at Collaboratory.
And will it be open during Art Walk and things like that? I mean, is it? Do you intend that to be part of it, or is this going to be if there's an event like a Ghost Bird production?
It would be if there's an event. We're really letting the community take the lead. We really don't want to be prescriptive about the program. We want it to emerge.
All right. Well, that is all the time we have for this part of the show. I want to thank my guest, Sarah Owen, is President and CEO of the Southwest Florida Community Foundation. Thank you for your time, Sarah, and good luck at the Collaboratory.
Thanks.
When we return, we'll sit down with Jim Brock from the Ghost Bird Theater Company to discuss his new play, which will debut later this month at the Collaboratory during the Downtown Art Walk. We'll also meet one of its lead actors. I'm Mike Kneyre. You're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.